Honey, women pay me thousands of dollars to handle their zombie takeout. You get it for free. Welcome to episode 145 of Zombie Takeout, the B-movie and cult movie podcast. I'm Uncle John.
And I'm Scotto.
And before we get to this week's movie, a little bit of the news. First story from THR, Roger Corman to remake 8 Edgar Allan Poe stories.
Wow.
The B-movie king tells THR he's making new versions of 8 low-budget horror films based on stories by 19th century American writer Edgar Allan Poe that he adapted and directed in the 50s and 60s.
This is exactly what I was talking about with some other films that we've done. I mean, you don't really have any ideas to write anyway, so just take the ones that were written already.
Yeah. House of Usher will be followed by The Pit and the Pendulum, Premature Burial, Tales of Horror, The Raven, The Haunted Palace, The Mask of Red Death, and The Tomb of Ligeria. This time, Corman will produce, but not direct, the films, with the first to shoot in 2013, followed by 2 a year after that on budgets of 2 to 2.5 million. The originals were shot for 250 to 350 grand, not adjusting for inflation on 15-day schedules.
Huh. Wow.
Yeah. That was nothing back then.
Sounds insane.
That's like a clerk schedule, or budget, I should say.
15 days.
And a schedule, too. Wow.
Right.
He said, now being able to do them in 3D with lots of computer graphics, we can do things we never dreamed of doing before. He also said that his biggest concern is replacing his legendary leading man Vincent Price, who died in 93.
Yeah, that's the trouble.
Corman hopes to find a 50-something actor known from TV who, he says, can bring the same level of sensitivity and neuroticism that Vincent was able to bring. I have the perfect call for his replacement. I think he's a little older.
Yeah, I was going to say, I have a much older replacement in mind.
John Noble's looking for a new gig.
Oh, good God, yeah. Oh, my God, yeah, he is perfect. I was just going to say Christopher Lee, but that's kind of that's kind of the lazy pick.
Yeah. No, I went through a few, and John Noble was perfect, especially when you say sensitivity and neuroticism.
Yeah.
And he's... the line about now we can do them in 3D with lots of computer graphics concerns me. I mean, Corman's movies were never good.
Right.
Know what you're in for with a Corman movie. But that just, I want them to be good, and I know they're not going to be.
They'll just be takes on the old, Edgar Allan Poe stories, and they'll have a nice flashy, well, probably cheesy appearance.
$2.5 million. And that's my other concern with, possibly, I think, again, Noble is perfect, but is it good for Corman?
Well, I don't know. All I just want to hear is, quote the Sharktopus Nevermore.
All right, next story from CinemaBlend. A Book of Mormon movie looks likely, but we'll have to wait a little while for it.
Was there a question that there wasn't going to be one? Are you serious? I mean, they're going to wait, of course, because here in Chicago, Book of Mormon is like sold out till June, I think. It's been here for maybe a year already. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, they're raking the money in.
You basically just summed up the story, but I'll read it anyway.
Yeah.
There's been talk of a big screen Book of Mormon since September of last year, but Parker and Stone have put the brakes on the idea, wanting the play version to work as its own thing for the time being and continue to make money.
Right.
But now that the musical has been around for a year and a half, there are whisperings coming up again. Variety has published an article about the potential project, and within it, they call an adaptation a near certainty. The trade was present for a presentation by Viacom CEO Philippe Dahmen, I'm guessing. And while speaking, he was asked about what the chances of seeing a Book of Mormon movie are. He said, we love working with the two of them. He went on to say, in fact, we have a small investment in the play given our work with them. Of course, they get points on it. Pretty much anything Trey and Matt do, they probably have a hand in.
Of course.
Sadly, though, it looks like we'll still have a bit longer to wait before the film actually comes together. There are no current timelines established for the project, and Variety points out that the production could be waiting until ticket sales for the show start to drop.
Yeah, you can't cannibalize your own
No.
sales. That would just be stupid.
As an in-production movie version would be useful to invigorate them again. So, yeah, they're really just focusing on the play. As Hamlet said, the play is the thing.
And why not? I mean, I've yet to get the chance to see it myself. I mean, the tickets are still a bit out of my budget. So, you know.
It sounds like they're even going to use the movie to plug the play.
Of course, that's how it's worked for a while now with Broadway.
Okay. All right, so on to this week's movie. And it is from 2009, 2012. And I will say, at the top of my notes, I have the title dash date. Very confusing this week.
Yeah, why is that?
And of course, that brings us to the impromptu plot summary. Brought to you by cell phone towers. Who needs them anyway?
And also sponsored by over-literalism. For when stating the obvious just isn't enough. Well, this is probably the easiest to sum up of any movie we've ever done. It was a Roland Emmerich movie. Hilarity ensues. Really, it's a Roland Emmerich movie that distorts science rather than history. So, if you've seen Independence Day, you've pretty much seen this movie too.
That's it.
Yeah, that's pretty much it.
Okay.
There really is no point to the plot. The world's ending. The government has been keeping it a secret from the citizens. They've conspired to build ships to preserve humanity. Then there's this endless sequence of near misses, and you're pretty much, Uncle Tom's Cabin, where they're, jumping around the ice floe and, the old melodrama stuff. And it's done repeatedly also. And then the world didn't end. Hilarity ensued.
Well, it ended, but there were a group of survivors.
It wasn't quite dead yet.
Before doing my research, I was sure this was Bay. And I've seen the movie before. I saw it, well, had to be less than 3 years ago, but I've seen it. It must have been on Netflix for at one point. I still thought it was Bay. I've seen it, and I thought it was Bay.
Bay doesn't take the same glee in destroying America as Emmerich does.
Well, he didn't just destroy America in this one. He destroyed the
Yeah,
entire world.
but the focus again was on the destruction of
Most of
America.
the cast were Americans. Well, most of the characters, I should say, were Americans, so that's where they focused it.
Instead of a spaceship blowing up the White House, this time he had a tsunami wave hit
With a battleship.
with the
Or an
battleship.
aircraft carrier, to be
Or
specific.
yeah, an aircraft carrier, right. So I mean, this is the laziestly written film I think we've ever done.
And we're gonna split on this one. Not completely, not horribly, not a big split. But I gotta say, and I can't believe I'm saying this about an Emmerich movie. I had fun with it.
Well, the man did Stargate. I'll give him Stargate. But then the man did Independence Day.
Well, and we've talked about that, and we're
And
on the
then he
same
did
page with that.
Independence Day with Godzilla.
He also did The Patriot, which I've heard good things about.
And then he did Independence Now he did Independence Day with a series of tsunamis and earthquakes. It's the same movie.
Actually, in an interview with USA Today, Roland Emmerich has stated that this will be his final disaster movie. I said to
Oh, yeah.
myself, I'll do one more disaster movie, but it has to end all disaster movies, so I've packed everything in.
And he did. It's a grand buffet of disasters. He couldn't settle on one disaster. He had to have them all. Now, I will say the one thing that does set this apart from Independence Day is the acting is quite a bit better.
Oh, the cast is great.
Yes.
The performances are pretty much flawless in
Honestly,
most cases.
the cast in Independence Day on paper, a
Yeah.
solid cast.
True, true.
Performances from the cast
Yeah.
in Independence Day
Well, I had the one big
were
problem with
hideous.
ID4, well, cast-wise, was Will Smith.
Come on, Harvey Fierstein was awful in it.
No, yeah, he was
Judd
Harvey
Hirsch
Fierstein.
was awful in it.
Yeah.
And Jeff Goldblum was ridiculous.
True, true.
But on paper, you put those guys together, you say, oh, you're putting those three in a movie together. That's got to be a great movie. And then when it actually came to be, It was, whew.
Whereas this one you have, and I've practiced this guy's name, Chiwetel Ejiofor. He was the scientist, Adrian, like forgetting his last name, to who basically the conscience of the movie.
Yeah.
Brilliant actor. I've seen him in Children of Men and Serenity.
I thought he was okay in this.
Also, John Billingsley, who I always love to see in anything. The other scientist with the glasses and kind of the long hair.
Okay, yeah. He was very familiar.
And even the kids were decent.
Right. Oh yeah, they're okay.
Not great, of course, but they were tolerable.
I think Cusack had his moments too.
Yeah,
I think
Cusack was Cusack.
Cusack, I mean, the beginning he was kind of wandering through, but there really wasn't much for him to do. And then, but the moments where he needed to really punch it forward, he did, and that was at the end where, you know, the children could be losing their father. You mean he did his job. He sucked you in thinking like, man, yeah, these kids are gonna lost their foster or stepfather, and then now they're gonna lose their real father. And that was a nice moment.
And I knew the stepfather was gonna die when he basically there was a scene where he tells Jackson Curtis, that's Cusack's character,
Yeah.
how lucky he is to have kids. And at that point you know he's dead. I
Yeah.
thought he was gonna sacrifice himself at that point. I thought that was basically when he decided, okay, I'm gonna, sacrifice myself to so that they can live at some point. But he didn't sacrifice himself. It was just a senseless.
Now, the two people who were underachievers in this, who I expect better from, well, Danny Glover has had his hits and misses. So I guess it wasn't that
It
much of
was
a
a little
surprise,
lackluster for
kind of
Glover.
the, but Oliver Platt should do better than this.
What? At least in recent years, has always been the same guy.
Yeah.
He was the same character in X-Men First Class. It was practically an identical performance.
Right.
And a number of other things I've seen him in recently. He's become a one-note actor, and he never was in the past.
Well, obviously this is a paycheck movie.
Oh, yeah. But most of them didn't treat it that way.
Right.
Platt did, and Glover did to a point.
Yeah.
But just rolling back to the beginning, the
Okay.
whole thing is based on this idea that there's going to be this planetary alignment that causes, well, in the actual, how shall I put the pseudoscience of it, is that there's this planetary alignment that happens every 640,000 years that's going
Right.
to cause the end of the world. Been massively disproven and has become a laughing stock. But that's what the movie is based on.
Planets have lined up before, though.
Yes, and they haven't destroyed anything. I think I was reading something online today that there was one 100 years ago and it didn't do anything.
I could have sworn I remember it happening in the 80s too, and
Possibly.
people talked about the end of the world, you know, as a kid, so you like kind of take it seriously. Ooh, is this really going to happen? And of course, it doesn't. It's ridiculous.
Okay, I was going to wait on this, but I'm just going to take a tangent and rant for a minute.
Okay.
Obviously, the world is not going to end tomorrow. But
Well, if it does, no one's really going to hear this.
true. And the fact that this is being released on the day makes most of this rant kind of moot, but I just got to get this off my chest.
In fact, you know what? I was kind of pissed off towards the end of this because I said, you know, if the world really does fucking end, I can't believe I spent my final hours watching this shit and talking about it.
Okay. One, there are still Mayans. Their empire fell. They weren't extinctualized.
Okay. Yeah, I think I knew that.
Two, that big round Oreo-looking thing that people are claiming is the calendar, it's actually an Aztec artifact called the Sunstone. There is no physical calendar. Three, the calendar does not predict the end of the world.
It just ends.
This is the end of the current baktun, which is their unit of measurement of, time on a large scale. And the explanation I heard this morning, I'm not exactly sure if this is 100% accurate, but I think it's close. Is that according to Mayan mythology, this is the third Earth. The first one lasted a very short number of baktuns in the single digits. The second one lasted 12. This one, we're hitting 12. So, again, only if you believe in Mayan mythology, we're pushing the envelope at this point.
And you'd expect the third one to last longer than the second one anyway.
The second one lasted longer than the first.
Right.
So, that's all what this is based on.
Well, how long Where are the mines supposed to go with this calendar or
Well, no,
disk?
it actually, well, the disc is not the calendar. That's the Aztec Sunstone.
Okay, but still, they went up how many thousands or what? 1500 years almost
But no,
ahead of where they were?
the calendar actually continues. There, it goes many, many, many years into the future from now.
Yeah.
This is just, again, the end of the Bogdun, and because the last one lasted 12, that's where it all stems from. Again, it's all Mayan mythology. Anyway, back to the movie.
Okay. Well, not that the Mayans were they were hardly even brought up in this damn thing
No,
either.
no.
Some people mentioned them on the streets, but that's not what he was focusing on.
No.
He, focused on solar flares, the Earth's polar shift, the super caldera going off.
And the solar flare thing, I think, was clever. I have to give it to him. Because, I mean, no, it doesn't work scientifically, but it sounds good. And that's all I can ask from Roland Emmerich.
The neutrinos are mutating.
And at least they pointed out neutrinos don't normally interact with matter. And these are mutating and acting like microwaves. It doesn't work, but it sounds good, and I can't ask for more from Emmerich.
I was just sitting there with my jaw open, like, what?
It was clever for this kind of movie.
I
So
couldn't
I
make
was
it through the
satisfied.
Patriot. I could not sit through the Patriot
Okay, I haven't seen it, but I've heard good things.
because it's historically,
Inaccurate.
it did to history what this movie did to science.
Okay.
And I take history a lot more personally than I take science, honestly.
I'm the opposite, which is why I'm the guy who always rants about science. Another interesting thing, this was filmed in 2008 before Obama was elected. But
Yeah,
Danny
but
Glover is playing the president.
it wasn't that. Obama,
It was kind of a sure thing.
if they had done this, like 4 years earlier, I would have been like, whoa.
Yeah.
But,
He'd already been nominated. It was kind of a sure thing.
like it was a 50-50 back then. It
I think
really
it was.
was.
Oh, I think it
And it
was a
was
little more than
50-50
that.
again. What's up?
I think it was a bit more than a 50-50 at that point, after
It
Bush.
was, well, it was damn, well,
It was close, yeah.
the actual election results were damn
That's
close.
true, that's true.
Not as close as this last one was, but damn close.
Now, the beginning of the movie, they did a great job of compressing time and it giving a lot of exposition in about 20 minutes.
Yeah.
And then I got bored.
Of course. How could you not? This is
Soon as it,
hour and
as soon as I saw 2012, I got bored up until the shit hit the fan.
158 minutes. Who the fuck? I can't believe he made money off
Well,
this.
it was just the period when it got to 2012 up until the giant earthquake. That period in there, which again is a lot of exposition mostly about Cusack's character, I was bored.
This movie needed to be at least 45 minutes shorter.
Yeah,
At
it could have definitely
least.
been shorter.
You could lop an hour off this movie and not really miss all that much. Actually, it would probably have been a lot better because 158 minutes gives you an entirely too much time to think about the shit that they are putting before you.
And I didn't think about most of it. I just went for the ride this time. And like I said, I had a good time. There were a couple of spots where it kind of broke reality again. There's a scene where Cusack's character is out with his kids hiking through the woods, and they find this fence, clearly a government installation.
Right.
And not only does he jump the fence, he brings his kids with him.
Right.
Nobody would do that.
No. And there's one actor we've yet to mention
Okay.
who I believe I spotted a piece of scenery between his teeth, Mr. Woody Harrelson.
Oh, how could I forget him? He stole the movie.
He did. He was
He should have
chewing.
lived longer.
He was chewing some major scenery. Honestly, though, none of them should have lived longer because if you are in Yellowstone when that super caldera goes off,
Fair enough. But
when that super caldera goes off, I'm going to be in Chicago here. I'm going to be on the edge of kind of the impact.
Right.
You should not survive that if you are in Yellowstone. There is going to be a giant hole the entire, it's going to go for miles.
But I'm saying I would have liked to have seen his character in more of the movie because I loved his character.
Right.
in his performance.
They should have all just taken off together,
mm-hmm.
spared us one more ridiculous scene of them leaving with the earth crumbling beneath them.
Yeah. Okay.
Which just happened way too many times.
Mm-hmm. And I'll admit, like I said, that's when I started to enjoy it again. But there are two scenes I have to really nitpick.
Just two?
Well, with regard to the earth falling apart underneath them.
Yeah.
One in a limo, one in an RV. In both cases, they jump the vehicle over this, you know, the earth crumbling beneath them.
Right.
This didn't bother me the first time I saw it, but I've since seen an episode of Top Gear where they tried to jump a limo. The front wheels left the ramp, it went about 2 feet, and then it dipped. They don't catch air at all.
No, they would not.
And if a limo doesn't do that, I really doubt an RV would.
Now, I think the worst one for me, and they were all pretty bad, honestly. Although if they did it once, I don't think I would have as much to complain about it, but they just kept doing it over and over again. The worst one I thought was driving the car through the collapsing building.
Yeah, yeah.
That was the most ridiculous thing I've ever seen.
This is the problem. You were thinking while watching a Roland Emmerich movie. And that's normally what I do, but in this case, I was able to shut the brain off.
Collapsing building.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, no.
Oh, yeah.
I'm not arguing with you. I'm just saying.
You just sail right through that. You're just going to sail right through the collapsing building.
Yeah. You left your brain on.
Oh, come on. I tried to shut it off as much as possible, but that was ridiculous. Nah, no, the ceiling was going to fall on it or anything. It's just glass.
Okay, then I think now it's time to get to the big, but at least for me, the most egregious break in reality.
All right.
Okay, so they're boarding these arcs that have been built because the government knew it was coming. Yeah. And basically anybody who they felt could contribute to the, you know, the new society was given a pass, or anybody who could afford it. And so Chiwetel Ejiofor's character is on there. And he gets a call from the guy who basically designed the arcs, an Indian scientist.
Yeah.
The Earth is being destroyed at this point. This is after the caldera goes off and everything is falling apart. You see mountains being formed and giant tidal waves and the whole nine. Yet he calls him on a cell phone. Although I can reason around this if I'm really lenient and say they were satellite phones.
How about the president making a speech after the shit hit the fan, and there's people still with power that could hear him?
good point. Didn't think about that.
I think they're like in Big Times Square.
Jumbotrons in Times Square.
Jumbotrons. Oh yeah, it's all still going. I'm like, what the fuck?
True.
There's so many things. We could go on longer than the 158 minutes, I think, with just utter bullshit. You know what? You know how you usually do a clip from the movie at the end of the episode after the credits and stuff, or after we talk? I think you should break tradition and take the line from Billy Madison.
No, I actually already have that plan.
Okay. Everybody in this room is dumber just for having watched it.
And with regard to Glover, the president, Glover's character.
Yeah.
Why did he stay behind?
I think there are a lot of leaders that would stay behind.
It was a whole just going down on the going down with the ship.
Yeah.
See, because I saw no reason for the sacrifice. It's not like him staying behind would save someone else. Because if that was the case, it would have been fine.
Right. But, at least head to higher ground.
Yeah, yeah.
Don't stay in Washington.
Well, yeah, yeah. And at least he did help out with, you know, the casualties to some extent.
Yeah.
Okay, another issue. There was a point where, you know, you see the giant mountains forming and, you know, the quake is coming. And there's a mushroom cloud. An earthquake causing a mushroom cloud.
Was that the super caldera?
It might have been the super caldera.
Yeah, because it's going to be a lot like that.
It would be a mushroom cloud?
Oh, yes.
Okay.
And it wouldn't just be a single location like that. It would just, I mean, whew.
I thought only, like, nuclear explosions caused mushroom clouds.
Yeah, no, it would pretty much be like that.
All right.
It'd probably be bigger than any nuclear blast the Earth has ever seen.
Mm-hmm. Now, there were, like I said, a number of things that I liked. The scene with the two monks I dug. You see these two monks talking, and one of them ends up saving Jackson and his family
Yeah.
because his brother worked on the arcs and they had a pass, so they, let them in with them. But there's a scene where he's talking with his master, and they restated an old Zen story about a young monk going to an old monk and talking about how he's having trouble with the teachings, and the monk overfills his teacup and says, in order to get more in, you have to empty your cup, basically. I'm
Yeah.
truncating that greatly. So
Right.
I liked seeing that restated. And then they were hit with a giant tidal wave. Or the old monk was. The younger
Yeah.
one had gotten out of there. And he's ringing the bell as he's about to get hit. I love that part. I also liked the "our culture isn't dying" speech that Chiwetel Ejiofor's character gives to the president's daughter.
Oh, was that the
Was
oh,
around,
yeah.
I don't know if it
It
was on the
was
Ark or it was on Air Force One. Or one of the Air Force planes. She had been involved with saving the Mona Lisa and a number of other great works of art early in the film. And she was lamenting that those had been destroyed. And basically just saying, our culture is within us. It's not the things that we've already created. That I enjoyed.
It is a heady statement for a Roald Emmerich movie.
And
Hopefully, if this were really to happen, though, all copies of this film would not make it.
that's the thing is, yes, this is ridiculous. Absolutely. But I
Yeah.
think it is a cut above most of them. I also love the Bentley scene. It was
Oh.
cheesy, but it was fun.
Yeah.
Jackson and his family have to get to the Arks, which are in China. So they end up running into the Russian, was he a mobster? Or did they not
Who
state that?
knows? They were just probably the most annoying of the entire film, I would think.
Probably Russian mobster who he
Just
drives
really bad
allegedly for.
acting.
And they end up on this big jumbo jet that, well, of course it does things that a jet can't. So they have to get off the plane, which of course has lost its landing gear.
Yeah.
So they get into this Bentley. He had a number of cars in the back. He was bringing them to an auto show. They get in this Bentley, unlock it, drive it out of the plane at speed. Cheesy but fun.
I'm trying to think of what film I've seen that in before, too.
Have seen that. I haven't.
Yeah.
Well, incidentally, why were they, in a scene shortly after, why were they transporting animals in individual helicopters?
Because it's a fucking ark. You get it? They put
Yeah.
the animals in 2x2. The kid's name was Noah.
Oh,
There were
I got, yeah. They were
so
bringing,
many retarded things in
yeah.
this script
The
that
Noah
you're
I was
just like,
okay with.
"Urgh."
The animals, it's just, it didn't make sense.
The entire act of building a boat to escape the end of the world, the cataclysm, is just ridiculous too. They're surprised that there was debris. All of their scientists,
Yeah.
well, we hadn't thought of that. There are debris in mountaintops. Yeah. Why wouldn't they have built something that went into space and let the ride roll, roll it out there and then come back or go to another place if it didn't,
And that's something tangent again that really occurred to me recently. If the world were to end, who'd really be screwed? Anybody on the ISS. That just occurred to me because they have no way of getting back and limited supplies.
Well, oh yeah, definitely.
Just something I thought of. But yeah, space would make more sense.
Of course it would. That's why they just assumed it was space in the beginning,
Right.
and then he had to go on this whole. Apparently, Emmerich had made like a movie called like the Noah's Ark Principle back in the early 80s, and he I guess wanted to, revisit that.
Oh, okay.
It was a different premise though, where they were kind of at war, but they were kind of using the Earth as their proxy through space.
Ah.
So yeah, he brought the whole Noah's Ark thing back, and just, oh God, it was just too literal, which is like that's probably the grossest blunder of this whole movie, was just his over literalism, as I called it earlier. Things like, I feel, you know, we're kind of, or we'll always be together, and then the crack has to go between them and, you know, split them apart. It was just like, oh my God.
You didn't, well, I was going to say you didn't expect that, but you were bothered by that in a Roland Emmerich movie. I was kind of cueing that stuff and laughing at it.
Well, of course you saw it coming, you know, because the cracks were forming everywhere.
Yeah.
So, you know, oh, you know.
Yeah. As soon as he said that, I was, there it goes. And I,
wouldn't it be
and
funny if the
I enjoyed
crack
it.
Happened right now?
I think I enjoyed it because of that cheese level. I just, you know, it was a B movie to me. This is a big budget B movie.
People need to stop going to his films, though. Seriously. That is the only thing I hope people take from this show. Is that you stop going to see his films. This grossed $700 million worldwide. This.
Okay, a couple other things I wanted to get to here. There were at least two Wilhelm screams in the movie. At 1:59:33 and 2:00:05, when passengers are falling off of the ledge trying to get onto the Ark.
Okay.
At least two Wilhelms, possibly more. I stopped counting after that.
Yeah.
I think there may have been a third. Also, I thought the ending, yes, it was over literal and it was a little cheesy, but I thought it was a nice touch that they are on the Ark and it's been, I think, 27 days and, you know, passengers can go out on the deck now and get air and get light. And they find land in Africa.
Yeah, it was just unscathed. It you know, it lifted up.
Mm-hmm. But the whole back to Africa thing, because this is all that's left of humanity.
Yeah.
Going back to where it started. I thought that was a nice touch.
I was annoyed. Oh, that the continent of Africa is okay. It's like, So all you needed to do really was this evacuate everyone to Africa then?
Well, they didn't know it was going to happen, of course. It just happened.
It's the worst scientists ever, except when it came time to recalculate when the wave was going to hit, they had that to the second.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't see it coming in the first place, but then when they, you know, readjusted their calculations, they could get it to the second.
It was fun. It was enjoyably bad to me. That's how best I can put it. Because I knew that, you know, of course I expected all of those conveniences, but well, I had
this
fun.
This could
with
have
it.
Been enjoyable. If it were an hour shorter,
mm-hmm.
But to put us through 158 minutes of
definitely
this
too long. Absolutely.
Is insane. The fact that, what, if you're calculating $700 million, what, 70 million people sat in a theater for this for 2.5 hours? What the fuck?
I sat for almost that long on episode one, so.
Oh my God.
That was much more painful.
No way. This is way worse than episode one. Jar Jar Binks would have been an improvement to this film.
No. Anyway. I'm pretty much done with my notes. On to sequels and remakes?
Yes.
Entertainment Weekly announced that there was a plan for a spin-off television series entitled 2013 that would have served as a follow-up to the film. Executive producer of 2012, Mark Gordon, told EW that ABC will have an opening in their disaster-related programming after Lost ends, so people would be interested in this topic on a weekly basis. There's hope for the world, despite the magnitude of the 2012 disaster, as seen in the film. After the movie, there are some people who survive, and the question of how will these survivors build a new world, and what will it look like?
How many post-apocalyptic shows have we had, though, the last year?
Way too many, and there really is no market for that.
Right.
It left.
It's done, yeah.
This was in 2009 that they were planning this, so this was before all of that. It was probably right in line with all of that.
Yeah. And
I kind of like the movie. I have no interest in the series because it's just a group of survivors living off the land at this point.
Yeah. The ending bugged me, too, in another way, that the Earth's atmosphere was able to pretty much recoup after, like, only 4 weeks.
7 days, yeah.
Yeah. That's, no.
Well, one more note about the series. This would have been his third TV spinoff. Stargate, And Godzilla, the unanimated. There was an animated series based on Godzilla. His Godzilla.
Why?
They did well. And Stargate, as we pointed out, was good.
Oh yeah, Stargate was good. You gotta give it that. But Godzilla,
No.
they're better
Enjoyably bad for
versions.
me.
Yeah.
Obviously, there are better Godzillas, but his was enjoyably bad.
And if you're doing an animated series, you gotta fucking have Godzuki or it's just a waste of time.
Actually,
Which I
no.
guess was the precursor to Jar Jar Binks.
Kind of. All right, on to brains.
Misa gonna destroy Tokyo? Now there's your movie. Like a 50-foot Jar Jar Binks destroying
That is definitely a horror film. He doesn't have to even have to destroy anything. Just a 50-foot Jar Jar. That's horror, enough horror for me.
destroying some city. That'd be awesome.
He just has to stand there and talk. I'm terrified.
Just this Velveeta of a movie.
All right, on to brains.
The
Like I said, I had fun with it. Yes, it was cheesy and stupid, and it frequently broke reality, but I enjoyed the ride. I gotta go 3.5.
if I think if it would have been higher if it were shorter, I think it would have been much higher if it were shorter because there was just too much dead weight in the script. I think if he had tightened it up, he could have had something good going here, probably even higher than that. As it was, I was down to two, just from it alone, on its own merit. I liked some of the actors. But its length, I gotta take it down to 1.5.
All right, so what have we learned?
We learned that the Super Caldera going off would probably have been a better movie on its own.
Yeah. And I learned that with the right pilot, even a jumbo jet can defy physics.
Physics of this thing? Are you kidding me?
Oh, yeah. I had to come up with something.
Yeah.
All right, so until 3 weeks from now, we're taking 2 weeks off for the holidays.
Yeah. Much needed rest after
When we will
this
be
schedule.
revealing a Psycho Beach Party, you'll have plenty to talk about on this one.
Oh, yeah.
Go to zombietakeout.com, check out the album art, the episode description, of course, the episode itself, which you're already listening to. Links to find us on Facebook, Google Plus, and Twitter. The movie list, everything we've reviewed so far, and everything we are planning to review. The request form, where you can request a movie for us to review. And, of course, the recommendations list, every movie we've given four brains or better to. This never had a chance of getting onto it.
No.
Even as much as I kind of liked it. You can also send us an email, zombietakeout@gmail.com, or leave us a voicemail at 414-368-ZT01, or for the alphanumerically challenged, 414-368-9861. Of course, always remember that you will always be calling from the middle of Milwaukee.
Where 50-foot Jar Jar Binks will be destroying in the next 24
Until
hours.
3 weeks from now, always remember, never forget, wherever you go in life, there you are.
There you are.
That guy's crazy, right, Daddy?
I don't think so.
Recommendations form where you can request a movie for us to review, and the request form where you can request a movie for us to review, and of course the recommendations list,